We're here to learn, and hopefully we can do that. But Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to pick up the reading in verse number 19. The Bible says, well, I better pick it up 18 for a better context. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus or Tychicus, I don't know how you say it, but either way, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, in love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Man, that's good. Let's pray one more time. Brother Brett, if you would, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for giving us this beautiful day, Lord.
Yes.
Come to church, Lord. Lord, for the teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, we just ask you, Lord. Lord, as we begin the preaching hour, Lord, just give Brother Chase that he stands in need of, Lord. Just help him to be strong in you and the power of your might, Father.
Yes.
Just let your word fall on good ground this morning.
Yes.
Just help us, Lord, just to learn and to know good doctrine, Lord.
Yes, please.
What we ought to believe, why we believe.
Yes.
Lord, just let your word go forth now and do that you have for us to do, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to pray for boldness for each other.
Yes.
Lord, that we'll share the gospel with every person that you give us the opportunity to, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for a supernatural boldness
throughout
this world, Lord. We know that if the Apostle Paul needed people to pray for him for boldness,
yes,
Lord, how we need
yes.
pray for each other for boldness, Lord. Lord, just if you want to pray for me, anybody, Lord, just have them pray that they'll have boldness, Lord.
Yes, God, yes.
Lord, with a certain time, we're just thankful to say the grace.
We're yes.
The greatest time that there's ever been.
Yes, yes.
That by grace are we saved through faith,
and
not of ourselves, Lord. It's not a work.
Yes.
It's a free gift, Lord, that you give freely. Anybody will trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son, Lord. Lord, just thank you, Lord, for saving me, Lord. Thank you for everybody saved in this house this morning. Lord, anybody here lost, Lord, I pray, and not leave here.
Amen.
Lord, we're going to spend eternity in one or two places. Lord, we're just ashamed for somebody to die and go to hell.
Amen.
All we got to do is believe the gospel.
Yes, yes.
Lord, just ask you, Lord, to help us as we go out in our mission field this week to be ambassadors for Christ.
Yes.
Lord, fellow laborers with God. I
say,
thank Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. As that prayer was of fellow laborers. You know, if y'all have ever gotten a new job or something like that, I remember when I got a job at Lowe's years and years ago. I worked for Lowe's down at Starkville, and I liked that job, and that's good to me down there. And I was walking around with that manager, and they were showing me different positions. You know, this guy works over in the lawn and garden, and this guy over here works in this area and stuff. He said, now look, we're all working for this company. We're all on the same team. But look, he's in his area over here. He's in here. If you see he needs some help or she needs some help over it, go help him. But this is your job. You stay over here in this area unless they need you. And look, we're all working for the same thing with a common thing. We want to see this company do well so that other people do well. We're here to serve. One thing they'd say is, don't point. Because I've been up there at Lowe's, but when they say it's down there, I said, you're not supposed to do that. They want you to show them where they can find it and make that sale. But you know what? A lot of times, that's kind of how we do. We just kind of just point them. You know, we're all here. Different one of you. You're going to leave out of here. You're going to go to your place. You're going to go to the other place. But we're supposed to be serving there. But at the same time, we're still working for the same company. We're still working for the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we want to see people get help. So a lot of times, instead of just saying, hey, while you ask me, let me just go ahead and show you. If you ever have anybody ask you, well, how'd you get saved? What is salvation? Can you tell them? How'd you get saved? What is salvation? Salvation is not just praying a prayer. That's not salvation. Salvation is not, you know, coming down the front. Salvation is not getting water baptized. Salvation is not going to church. That don't have nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. All that other stuff is no good if you don't have the person. That's what's happened. People put all these other things in with salvation. Salvation, you get saved first, and the service comes after that. But the service is not connected to your salvation. Why? There are people get saved, they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're on their deathbed. They can't do anything. They may be able to pray, but they're still just as saved as you are. Amen. So you got to get salvation correct first. Once you get salvation correct, that's in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that He died, He was buried, He rose again the third day, He shed His blood for you. Once you place your faith and trust in that, correct service comes out of that relationship as you walk with Him.
Amen.
But all of us are in different places of our walk, and that's why we have to be patient with each other. Now here's the Apostle Paul, and it's amazing to me how he closes this letter out, because he's been talking about all this doctrine in chapter 1, 2, and 3 in this book. Then he talks about how to walk and walk in that doctrine that you've learned. And then he closed the last chapter. He said, but it's going to be a battle to apply that doctrine to your daily life. Why? The world, the flesh, and the devil do not want you to apply that thing. And not only that, but the specific message that you have. You're going to find out the Apostle Paul knew that there was a battle. And he had to have boldness. Why? Because God gave him a different message. So you got to realize, here's Moses with a message, and they're used to Moses' message, Moses the law, and all this type of stuff. And Paul comes in and preaches something else, and they're saying, hold on just a minute now. What's this deal here? So he's needing boldness for that. So what you have is you've got a battle there, and you've got, in verse number 19, you're going to see that there's plenty of Scripture to study. So what it is, you got all these blessings in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says you have these spiritual blessings, but there's a spiritual battle. If you don't realize what blessings you already have, you're not going to possess your possessions, so to speak. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but Obadiah, verse 17, speaking of the children of Israel, he says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. It's one thing to have a whole bunch of books on your shelf, but it's another thing to actually read them and do something with them.
That's right.
Now, the spiritual application I want you to get from that verse is, look, we've got blessings in Christ. You're already blessed, but He wants you to apply those blessings to your daily life and realize what you have in Christ. But there's a battle out there, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, high places, to keep you from realizing what you have in Christ and to keep you out of the fight. So what do you have to do? He gives you armor to put on, and you, as you put on Christ, putting on Christ is putting on that armor. How do you put on Christ? You put off the old man, Ephesians 4 said. You put on the new man. Why? Because I have no truth. I don't know any truth without the Lord Jesus Christ, so I can put on the ones you heard about with truth. I have no personal righteousness, so guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ put on righteousness, and He gave us righteousness in Him, so I can have righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, shield of faith. My faith will fail, but if I put on His shield of faith, that keeps those fiery darts from getting on the inside of me and inflaming me with anger, wrath, malice, immolation, a strife, division, heresies, all these things. Those things are just constantly being shot at your faith. So you have to put these things on while there's a real battle out there. And if you don't realize you have these blessings in Christ, you know what happened? Saul's armor will drag you down. Say, you know, you get that picture out there, and here's this great big old battle with this giant. Let's say you got your giant in your life, and you go out there and you try to put on somebody else's armor, and guess what's happening with the church? Same thing that could have happened to David. They're getting dragged around by the armor of the world. You hadn't proved that. It don't work. Why? It's got chinks in it. The armor of God has no chinks in it.
Amen.
His shield can never be broken.
Amen.
His helmet can never be broken. You know what's happening? Some people are letting the lid off on their craziness. Why? You take that helmet of salvation off of you, guess what's going to happen? If the devil can get you to doubt your salvation, you'll lose your mind, man. And how does he do it? He uses the devil, use the Word of God against you. Why? Because Paul said, look, here's a spiritual battle. There's plenty of Scripture to study. He said there's a mystery there. And he was given the revelation of the mystery that was not made known in other ages. And you know what he's saying? There's a battle out there for me to preach this. Why? Because people are using Bible verses And they're saying, hey, this is what the Bible says. And the Apostle Paul says, yes, but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself revealed things from heaven after He had ascended up from me that's different from that. Why? We're in a different program. And it's a battle there. Why? Because tradition. People say, well, my pastor taught it so-and-so. Well, he's probably a good man, but I don't care what your pastor says. If he says something contrary to the Bible's right and your pastor's wrong. Well, our denomination says, people, look, I'm telling you something. I get so tired of people worshiping denominations, it makes me sick.
That's right.
Yes, we're here at a Baptist church, but I'm here to tell you, if the Baptist church teaches something contrary to the Bible's right, and the Baptist doctrine can just jump in a lake and swallow a snake for all I care. Why? Because, look, it's not right to put that above God. You think God's going to get up there, you're going to get up there to hell one of these days, He's going to say, now what church did you go to? Oh, Baptist. Oh, y'all come over here. You know, y'all a little bit. No, He's not going to do that. People, some people are just so crazy. Now, you know what this is? He's going to say, did you go by what the Bible said over all your traditions? The Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ told those Sadducees and Pharisees, He said, you make the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. Made the Word of God of none effect. The Bible said heaven and earth was created by the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God abide forever. And you know what people do? They take their tradition and say, well, this is the way it is, this way it is, because tradition said, if your tradition contradicts the Bible's right and you're wrong.
Amen.
This preacher, anybody else, that's why here at the Bible church, you're supposed to have your Bible open and checking what the preacher said. And you say, okay, I'm going down through there. I'm sure he meant well, but if he says something against the Bible, guess what? He's wrong and the Bible's right. It's that simple. That's how you get along with one another. Why? I'm not infallible, but the Bible is.
Right.
There are men out there and women out there. So look, you meet people, and man, a lot of them mean well. I've met some of the nicest people in the world. I was talking to this one lady one time, and she was telling me about these little angels she saw. And I thought to myself, she's a nice lady, but she's a little bit confused. Because I'm going to tell you something. You drink too much Sprite and eat too much pizza before you go to sleep, man, no telling what you liable to see. Let me tell you didn't see a biblical angel. If you've seen something glittery and it's like a little cherub thing with little wings and float around in your room, and tell you something, that is not a biblical angel. When people saw angels in the Bible, they looked like men, and guess what? That half the time they scared to death. Why? Because those angels look fearsome. They're working for God, and they've been up there in His holiness. And I tell you something, that thing would scare you.
Right.
Now you get a lot of these people, oh, it was just the sweetest little thing you ever saw. No, look, they probably mean well, but you got to check things by the Bible. And Paul said, look, what I'm saying, I need boldness. You know what we need to speak? We need to speak with boldness. That's not get up here and just get in somebody's face and say, you're wrong about this thing and I'm right. No, boldness is you're sticking out among the rest of the letters.
Yes.
When you got bold letters, those bold letters stick out among everything else. And you know what? You're going to stick out in the crowd if you're saying some things that's against their tradition.
Right.
And that's why he's needing that boldness. Why? Because people didn't like him for it. I'll prove it to you here in just a minute. But there's plenty of scripture to study. Look, you're never going to exhaust that Bible. This is some thing. I'm going to give you a few verses. Hebrews 5. I may lose you, but I've got to give you a couple of these things. Hebrews 5. He's giving these Hebrews some things here. There's some things we can apply to us, but you got to understand there's a lot of stuff in Hebrews that don't apply to you doctrinally. Why? Because like Hebrews chapter 6, that's a different dispensation. You get over here and it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted. The Bible said we've tasted Lord Jesus Christ over there in Colossians. But this is a different thing. Taste of the heavenly gift, and we're made partakers. Well, we're made partakers of salvation of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So that's the context. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Y'all, that's not mailed directly to you. Why? In the tribulational period, he's talking about people in the tribulation period. If they take the mark of the beast and they fall away by doing that, guess what's going to happen? They can't be renewed to repentance. You got some of these people and they believe you can lose your salvation. You know what I tell them? Okay, as long as you believe you can't get it back. If that Bible tells you over there, for the people that's going to go through this time period, if they fall away, they can't renew. If you take the mark of the beast in the tribulation period, you can't be renewed back to repentance. But you know what? Bless the Lord, if you believe the Bible right, you know if you're saved right now, you're not going to go through that time period. And that piece of mail don't even apply to you.
Amen.
Don't let that stuff bother you. People talking about, you get on these things, man, and they get talking about the mark of the beast. Half of them don't know come here from sickle.
Right.
Why? You know, they get this, well, the shot's the mark of the beast, and the mark of the beast is the barcode. You know what the mark of the beast is? The mark of the beast. It's that simple. He's gonna give everybody a mark, and they're not going to be able to buy or sell or eat or drink without that mark. You know what? You got a lot of these folks, and they try to make it all this stuff. It's so simple, people stumble over it.
Yeah.
And guess what? You know what I tell them? I'm not going to be there. So whatever it is, whatever they do, it's not going to apply to me because I'm going to be gone. I've gotten saved.
Yeah.
Well, you know what that does? That gives you peace. But you know what happens? That contradicts a lot of people's tradition, see, and what their pastor said, and what their denomination said. And Paul said, I need boldness. Why? Because when you go in there and you start rightly dividing that Bible and you preach according to revelation of mystery, guess what's going to happen? It's going to contradict what people have been taught all their life, and they're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to go by what I've just been taught, what so-and-so said, what grandma thought, what papa thought? Well, if what they thought was against the Bible, it don't matter what they thought. I'm going to go with the Lord. I don't care what member of my family says this, that, or the other. If it's against the Bible, it's against the Lord, and I want to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you got that thing in the Bible. So, Hebrews 5. See, I chase these rabbits. Look at this. It says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become. See, become, that the definition has to pass from one state to another. That here they are, they've become backslidden. That's what happens to you. They become some way. They weren't like this, they become. They got backslid on God. Such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use. See, you got to use it. He said, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you know what you have? You're supposed to be skillful with your Bible. And that's why we give Bible verses here. Why? Look, there's nothing wrong with a baby having milk. But there'd be something wrong with our little baby if all she ever wanted 10 years from now, she didn't want to eat any meat or anything. All she wanted was milk. You'd have an issue. There's something wrong with Christians who all they want is just a little devotional message every Sunday. Just touch not, taste not, and handle not. And don't do this, and don't do this other thing. And don't do this now, and don't do this now. Look, there ought to be a time when you grow up and you can learn some Bible and eat on some meat there. Why? Because you know what happens? What would you do if your kids start grow up? After about 9 or 10 years old, you shouldn't have to be whipping them with a belt all the time. It should be now, okay, here's what my Word says, and I'm telling you this. God ought to be able to tell you something in His Word and say, look, this is what my Word says. Now obey the Word. Does God have to get His whip out and whip you? See, a lot of this stuff, these people, well, God's doing this to you, God's doing that to you. God will take His Word and show you something in His Word. Let me tell you, if you don't want to obey it, that's between you and God. You know what? He knows this. Your flesh will take care of you.
That's right.
God don't have to get a whip out to me and go take me, you know, God will take you out the woodshed. Let me tell you this. I'll mess my own self up. I don't have to have him take. You know why? Because he'll warn me in my Word, and it's okay. I'm warning you. Now, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. And you know what? All them flat tires I got and all that stuff wasn't God doing it. It was me doing it. God can give you sense in the Bible and say, look, don't drive over in that parking lot. There's nails in that parking lot. I said, don't worry about it, Lord. I got it. Okay, we get a flat tire. We don't blame God. When you go against God's Word, don't blame God. And so He's throwing lightning bolts down at me, and it's God's fault. It's not God's fault. We should have been reading the Word of God. You've been reading the Word of God and doing what He said to study it. See, we got people nowadays, half these preachers, I'm telling you, I am one. It's the preacher's job to study the Word of God. And you got a lot of these people, and they'll say, well, I don't believe this, that, and other. Okay, when was the last time you picked up your Bible, lazy?
Yeah.
Why? Because half of them don't study anyhow. You think I'm going to believe what you say when you're not studying your Bible?
Yeah, that's right.
I've got a lot to learn, but I'm going to tell you something. When a man gets up there and he's trying to tell me something, he hasn't been studying his Bible, guess what? I'm going to take the Bible over his opinion.
Amen.
And you got to get to that place. Why? It's your place to study the Word of God.
Amen.
Why? To show thyself approved unto God, not unto men.
That's right.
Okay, well, if I'm giving you the Bible verse, I'm not studying to show myself approved unto you. It's unto God. And what God thinks about it, that's what matters. You got men say, well, the Baptist says, crazy as a loon, man. Mad as a hatter, like they used to say. Now, what you have is, we're in this battle, and he's saying it's a battle. Why? You got to apply these things in your life to keep your mind sane. Otherwise, people will teach you doctrinal error. So don't retreat in that battle. Stand. Now, if y'all ever read about Napoleon Bonaparte's drummer boy, a lot of preachers use this for illustration, but it's good. They's out there in the battle, and they start losing, and they say, look, they tell that drummer boy, they say, beat a retreat. Beat a retreat. He said, Napoleon told us not to learn a retreat. We don't know where to retreat. Well, you know what? I know that's an earthly story. They didn't even know how to retreat. And guess what? That guy got his folks killed. But I'm going to tell you this right here. That's not the same battle we're in. The Lord Jesus Christ tells you not to retreat. Why? Because your armor has no chinks in it, and you won't lose if you're fighting in the power of His might. That's why when you read in the Bible about the mighty men, David's mighty men, David's a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't lose. Why? They were fighting in Christ, so to speak. They were fighting. There's a picture of us fighting in Christ. And here's one man, he goes down there with the swords, a picture of the sword of the Spirit, and Eliezer whips kills 300 Philistines, and his sword claved his hand. You know what that is? That's supposed to be you fighting to the death, so to speak, and I die daily, letting this old man die a little bit, die and fight him and fight him and fight him with the Word of God until, guess what? Only Christ can be seen through your life. Say, I'm here, but I want other people to see the Lord Jesus Christ operating in and through me. That's the battle there. One of the main battles with yourself. Why? You'll tell your own self lies.
That's right.
You'll lie to yourself, man. Why? The Bible says the flesh is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And people say, well, I just don't know what I'm feeling right now. I don't know my heart. Of course you don't know it. Only God knows it. So you have to read the Bible to get the right thoughts on it. Follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Follow what the Bible says, and it'll tell you how you're supposed to believe about your heart.
Yes.
You'll get the right thing. So you get over here, and I want to give you a couple of these things about this mystery. 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to write some of these down. And I'll kind of go off my mind here. But I want you to have these. I done used all that room back there. 1 Timothy, let's see. Can everybody kind of see this little section right up here? Can anybody not see this section right here? All right, I'm going to give you a couple of these verses. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I want you to have some of these so you don't think Brother Chase is making stuff up. The Bible says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. First of all, I got to attack the Calvinist doctrine. All means all, and that's all it means. God's not up here saying, I'm going to save this one, but I'm not going to save this one. He didn't preordain all that stuff out there. Once you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, He predestinates you to be conformed to the image of His Son. But predestination does not occur until you're saved. Every single time. It's all based on foreknowledge. Well, God foreknows, but He does not force. He knows who will and who won't, but He does not make you will or won't.
That's right.
He'll have all men to be saved, but guess what? Salvation is not like, I got saved, I got taken care of. That's not where it stops at. It says, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So not only once you get saved, He wants you to not only be saved, He wants you to grow in your salvation. Then here's another one. Alright. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. I want you to have some of these verses here because the Bible talks about ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what that is? People won't grow. He said, I want them to get saved, but then I want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. And guess what happens? If you just stay on the milk, you'll just learn. You know, let's read Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down beside green pastures. Isn't this wonderful? Folks, we just can lie down over here. And we can just, no, you need to do more than just lie down.
Amen.
There's a doctrinal application to that psalm anyway. Psalm 22 has to do with the church. I mean, not the church, but the cross. And then the church is not even known in the Old Testament until you read Pauline epistles. You don't know anything about the church, the body of Christ. Why? Because it said it wasn't revealed, or otherwise the devil would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, so you read over Psalm 23. That has to do with them being led by the shepherd, the great shepherd of their salvation in the millennial kingdom. And he's going to lead them beside still waters. Why? Because it's troubled waters. The wicked are like the troubled sea. And man, Israel's going to have it out over here in the tribulation period. Now I can get a doctrinal, spiritual application for Psalm 23 and enjoy just like a little morning message. But y'all, if you don't get down there deeper in your Bible, that thing will confuse you. There's a lot of prophecy in the Psalms. So people just, they never learn the knowledge of the truth. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. I want you to see a couple of these things. Turn to Acts 22. And Titus, while I'm doing this, will you wipe that board down some for me, son? Yeah, there's some Windex right there. I'm going to get it turned a couple places in my Bible. Just wipe me out some good place right there if you don't care, son. Thank you. Alright, so Acts 22. So Paul said, look, I need prayer because I'm an ambassador in bonds because I need to speak boldly. Because people were getting mad at him. Now what's this? Acts 22. Yeah, just wipe all that out. That's fine. Yeah, just as much as you can get. I just need some room to write some verses. Alright, so you need to see this thing. In Acts 22, the Apostle Paul gets up and man, This is amazing. He's given his testimony in chapter number 22. And you got to realize something. Here's a man while he's racing that board. Look at verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to, watch this, the law. He's in Acts 22, he's telling you what happened in Acts chapter number 9. People get so confused with this. You got to realize where you're at. What's he talking about? All this happened in Acts chapter number 9. Before Paul got the mystery revealed unto him, all they knew was the law and all this stuff. They didn't know anything about the doctrines you know today. So you can't read Pauline doctrine in the early Acts. Paul hadn't been saved. He hadn't wrote Romans to Philemon yet. They didn't know this. So Paul, Ananias is knowing about the law, having a good report of all the Jews. See, Jews, the law. It says, which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, his brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, see, hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Watch this. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now he tells them, now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And y'all, a lot of denominations will use that and try to teach baptismal regeneration. So that's over in Acts 22. But it's telling you, there's a man who was devout, Ananias, according to the law, and on the law, they knew that priests had to have washings, and the nation of Israel had to be washed, and then they could go out there and they could preach. Why? Because that was part of their program. And Ananias, that's all he knew. And he knew to put that in water because he's recognizing John the Baptist and all those washings. That's all he knew. Okay? Well, you know that's different because Paul gets the revelation of mystery and he said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, that's water baptize, but to preach the gospel. That separates water baptism from the gospel. That means you got a lot of these people out here preaching and they're saying, okay, you're not saved unless you're water baptized. And Paul said, hold on just a minute now. The gospel is not even connected to water baptism. Why? Because it's a different thing than what they were preaching in the gospels. Why? Because Paul hadn't been saved and they were saying, hey, you got to get down here, Jews, he's preaching to Jews, and identify yourself with the Messiah and get down here in this water just like they had predicted there. And he's saying, you got to be publicly up here, water baptized and be identified with that Messiah. And he said, you even got to confess your sins over in Mark chapter 1. Well, a lot of these Baptists that teach this stuff, they don't confess their sins when they get up here, do they? Well, if you're going to go by the Bible, go by the Bible. Well, that's not your program. So what I'm trying to show you is, if you don't go by that Bible rightly divided, you'll put verses down. The devil will say, hey, you need to get down here and do this. Yeah, but that verse is not directly to me. Well, you got to get that thing down right. In Acts 22, watch this. Paul's saying they need boldness. Jump down here at verse number 21. They're listening to him. He's telling them about Stephen. Look at verse 20. "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the remnant of them," what's this, "that slew him." Here's Paul standing by at the stoning of Stephen. And it says in verse 21, "He said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." You better understand this. I'll underline that word Gentile. "And they gave him audience unto this word." When he said Gentiles, it made them mad. Now watch why. "And then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." They were so stuck in their tradition. Why is that? Now take a place. I want you to see this for yourself, so you don't think Brother Chase is crazy.
That's right, brother.
Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 10.
That's right.
Matthew 10, verse 5, and then we're going to go to chapter 15. He said, "They gave him audience until," they were listening to him, "until he said the word Gentile." And when he said Gentile, they said, "Man, that guy's not even fit to live." Why, in the Old Testament,
right,
under the law, the Bible said the Jews weren't to be reckoned among the nations. In order for them to be able to worship God, they had to be a proselyte to Judaism, and they had to come to God through the Jews and go through that sacrificial system. And they were taught that thing for around 1,500 years. All they knew was the law. And all these things, they didn't realize a change had taken place. And the Apostle Paul's having to tell them, "Hey, here's a change taking place. And Gentiles can be a part of this thing without having to come through Israel." And brother, they got mad. Those Jews got mad. Why? Because over here in Matthew chapter 10, watch what this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. "These 12, who sent? Jesus. Sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." He said, don't go in the way of the Gentiles. I don't even want you preaching to the Gentiles. Why? Under that program, before it was revealed to Apostle Paul, they were supposed to go to Israel. He was Israel's Messiah, and that's all they knew with the mail that they had. The Lord Jesus knew what was going to happen in the future, but He didn't want to confuse them. Why? Because Paul hadn't been saved, and all these epistles hadn't been written. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, I want to show you this all in here. It's in this same chapter, he's telling you, you transgress the tradition. You make the Word of God none effect through your tradition. The same chapter. Watch Matthew chapter 15. And I want you to see this verse right here. Let's see. Look at verse number 24. He says this right here, verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Do you see that thing right there? Now watch this. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying the kingdom's at hand. Well, you know they weren't preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? Look at Matthew 16.
That's right,
Matthew 16.
That's right,
watch this. If you don't get this thing, it's going to mess you up. It says in verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed." Here's the gospel that we know today. "And be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." If anybody understood what we understand today, Simon Peter should. And he didn't understand a thing of it. Why? Because it wasn't revealed yet. That you see why everybody got so mad at the Apostle Paul? Let me show you it again before you strip any gears. I'm going to show you two or three times. Whenever you leave out of here, you're going to have enough scripture to know. Look at Mark 9. Mark 9. We're going to go Mark and Luke. Is everybody all right? I want you to look. Some sermons are teaching Bible study. This is good for you. Look at Mark chapter 9. Let's see. Man, I tell you, Mark 8 is real good too. We'll settle for Mark 9 because it's in here so many times. Mark 9 is real good. I want you to see this. Mark 9, is everybody there? All right. I'm going to read to you in verse number 30. I'm going to mark it down just in case anybody's not there. Mark 9:30-32, and then we're going to go to Luke 18 here in just a minute. I want you to see why Paul said, I need boldness. Why Paul's got a different message. Look at Mark 9 now. It says verse 30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. That's what you believe and know is the gospel. Watch this. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him.
That's right.
They didn't understand what in the world is he talking about. You see that? Paul's got a different message than what they were preaching. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came saying the kingdom is at hand. A literal, physical, visible, earthly, prophesied, Davidic kingdom where the Lord Jesus Christ would rule and reign from planet Earth. And guess what happened? That program got put on hold for a church age. By the time you get to Acts 7, and right now you're in a church age, and the doctrine for the church age is not the same as it's going to be when we're out of here, and it's not the same as it was before it came to pass. And if you don't get that thing, it'll mess your whole Bible up. That's how preachers get up here and get preaching people in bondage. Well, you know, if you don't live it, you know, you can't live it. Christ already lived it for you.
Amen.
I'm not enduring nothing to the end. Well, if you know so-and-so not living right, you're not living right either.
That's right.
That's where I get to preach. Why, it turned you into a Pharisee.
Yes, well.
Why, you're in a different... The Jews had to have a faith that was proven by their works, and you don't look... You get over here to James. The whole book of James is addressed to people that's going to be going through a different time period. You can get devotional application, but the Apostle Paul said it's not of works lest any man should boast.
Amen.
The book of James over there, he's telling you about a time period where people are going to have to prove their faith by their works. Let me tell you this right here. None of you is working like you ought to work. You get this thing where it'll turn you into a Pharisee and you think you're applying more Bible to your life than somebody else. And guess what? They may have one area down pat where you don't have that area down pat. I know some people who are just as close to the Lord as they can be, but they may have an issue going on in their mind that I don't even have in my mind. You know what the Bible says? Forgetting those things which are past, but pressing on. Well, guess what? I may not have that issue. They do. But they may be cleaner in another area than I am. Well, you think I'm better than they are? No.
That's right.
Well, I'm just showing you. You got a different thing. Look here. Let's look at Luke chapter 18. I want you to see that this will help you when you're witnessing the people. Look, there's a lot of people over here. I spoke to a man, Wednesday. And this man had gotten to the place, he's afraid to lose his salvation. And he said, man, you know, and I've heard it so many times now, I know what to tell them. But you need to know how to help people. He said, man, I'm afraid I'm going to lose the Spirit. Well, he said, well, Saul lost the Spirit over there in the Old Testament. Yes, that was Saul in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 7, the Spirit had not yet been given. He hadn't died on the cross yet, and it wasn't available. What you have today was not available in the Old Testament. They said they saved the same way in the Old Testament they are in the New Testament. They didn't even know the gospel of the grace of God then. Look, you can't find one verse. The Bible said over in Romans, Abraham describeth the righteousness which is of faith. He described it. He had faith, but he didn't know the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are crazy as a loon. Why? They don't have a Bible verse to show them what they're even saying. What am I showing you right here? Look at Luke chapter 18. Look at this. I'm going to show you this in verse 31 to verse 33. I hope y'all don't think I'm trying to be mean about this stuff, but you know what happened? There are preachers out there who put people under things that's not supposed to be put on them. And if you don't know the differences in your Bible, it'll mess you up.
It's where?
It says in verse 31, then he took unto him the 12. Now, if anybody would have known what was going on, it was the 12. It said, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. There's your death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now, you don't have to turn there, but that Bible said over there, you make you a cross reference. The Bible says the gospel of Paul, that Paul preaches, he said, if this gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. they did not know about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that tells me? They believed the gospel of the kingdom.
That's right.
So you know what was supposed to be on them at that time? The gospel is good news. The kingdom is at hand. Now that's why you say, how do you answer Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Man, my handwriting's terrible, ain't it? How do you answer that? Well, whenever you get over there, Paul hadn't been saved, and they got a renewed offer of the kingdom. The Lord said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you say, "What? Am I losing you?" Look, here's they got a gospel of the kingdom right here. And how you answer that is, still right here, the gospel of the kingdom still being preached in early Acts. Why? Paul has not been saved, and he's got the gospel of the grace of God. Now, you know what he's doing? God, Lord Jesus Christ is God. He give him a message, and you know what's happening? Because he's got that message, he's going out, and it's something different than what they have been believing, and they're mad at him. He's saying, I'm needing boldness. Why? Because when I start saying Gentiles, they're getting mad at me because even Jews are saying, how can the Gentiles be in here with us? So what he's saying is, you're going to need boldness. There's a spiritual battle there to what? To get your Bible correct so you don't put people under things that they're not supposed to be under. You get a lot of these people and they'll put you under all kinds of things. That's like, I've even met people who said that you can't have pork. That's under law. Little things like that. You know what that Bible teaches you? That Bible teaches you over in Timothy that as long as you ask God to bless it, you can eat it. Now, I don't want to eat no possum, but if I was real hungry and had to, I could. What I'm saying is, you judge things. Paul said he is the apostle to the Gentiles. So he's got mail that's directly addressed to you. And what you do is, the best way to think about it is this. I draw a pair of eyeglasses. It's funny, eyeglasses, and you look at your Bible like this, and you look at your glasses through Pauline doctrine, you look through those glasses at your Bible, and anything that transgresses the Apostle Paul, you know what you'll know? That's not direct mail for you today. When you get over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you see something there that can match your Pauline doctrine, Romans through Philemon, every bit of that thing starts with Paul. You know what you do? You realize, hey, that is direct mail from me today. But if you get over there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of that stuff's not to you doctrinally, you know you're not under that. Because if you don't, you know what you're going to do? You're going to put people under the law, and that's not to them. Let me show you another one. The Bible tells you in Hebrews 9 verse 17 that a testament is of force after men are dead.
That's right.
Well, when did the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross? He died on the cross right here. And you know what? That Bible says the New Testament started there. So you know what you have? All Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's under the law. That's law. So what do you have? You have to be real careful when you're there. Why? If you don't, you're going to teach people stuff that's not to them today. And Paul said, I need boldness. Why? Because people worship tradition. So what you do is, you get back over here. It's a spiritual battle. Look at Ephesians 6. And he tells you that not only do you have a spiritual battle to teach right doctrine, but you're going to have faithful servants with you. In verse number 21, it says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things. So he's sending Tychicus, who's a faithful minister, to help. Why? Because you're going to have to surround yourself with people who are willing to help you in these things. So look, this is what you do. If somebody wants to serve with you, fine. But this is what you do. Apostle Paul had people leave him all the time. He said, Demas hath forsaken me. He didn't say Demas forsaketh the Lord. Right. Having love of this present world. You know what happens? People get to reading things in the Bible, and they say, man, if I obey that, it's going to make so-and-so mad, and they're not going to like me. I'm not going to get an opportunity to preach there. Or they're not going to... That happens, man. Why? People worship other men.
That's right.
So Paul said, I got to surround myself with people who love the Lord and believe the Word of God. Why? Because otherwise, you're going to have people leave you, and if you let it bother you, it's going to bother you. So you know what you have to do? Realize, hey, the Lord is staying with you.
Amen.
That's what you're going to realize in life. I'm going to tell you something, man. You're going to get to the place in your life, and the closer we get to the last days of the church age, you're going to have people, the Bible said, they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what they want? They want you to get up here and give them a little bit of fluff on Sunday, and you go out there, you know, and you just do all this, and you can just have your best life now. What? No, you're not going to have your best life now. A lot of times you're going to be like the Apostle Paul, and you're going to suffer for doing right, and you're going to suffer for teaching and preaching truth. And he said, hey, here's Tychius. He's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. Guess what? He's going to come down here and tell you these things that's going on. Why? Because he's faithful. You know what God requires you to do? Just be faithful. I could give you all kind of texts over there. Y'all go home sometime and read about Epaphroditus and Philippians 4. He said, all right, he's saying from Thessalonians, he said, he sent to me once and again. The things that y'all supplied. I got my Bible maps, and you know what? From Thessalonica to Philippi was 100 miles. You know what that means? Epaphroditus went there and back, that's 200 miles, and there and back once and again. He went 400 miles walking to supply the need that Paul had. And he said, now my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. You know what you're going to find out? That old saying, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Look, some of you, you know what you're doing? You're working 6 and some of you 7 days a week, and you think, man, what am I? You're going all over the place and, man, getting frustrated. But you know what happened? If you will serve God in that Word of God and say, I just want to be faithful and do what I can do to try to be a blessing to my family and try to help who I come in contact with, guess what God will do? God will bless you. Don't think, look, you think what Tychius did, you say, well, all he did was just go down there and tell them some stuff, but it's recording it in the Bible. Y'all, there's things that you're doing daily and you think, am I doing enough? Just do what you can. You know what he told Moses over there? He said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? He said, just a staff. And the Lord took that staff and the Lord used it. All you do is take what you have and say, God, whatever I have, I want you to use me. You know what He'll do? He'll use you.
Yes, He will.
We get so concerned about the things that we do have, we forget about what we do have. So I don't have this, I don't have this other thing. You know what He's saying? Just get around some faithful brothers and sisters who love the Lord and who will fight with you in this spiritual battle, and go out there and apply these things. And look, you can make the information available, but you can't make it but accept it. Like family members, I got some family members, I'd love to see them believe in eternal security, and I'd love to see them believe that stuff. But let me tell you something. If they don't want to believe it, you can't make them.
No.
You can give them the Bible, and that's it. Here's the last thing. There's a closing salutation. He said, those that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. I wish I had time to go on this other stuff about it, but I spent too much time on the other. But look at this. You ought to sincerely love the Lord. If you sincerely love Him, you're going to want to fight with Him and for Him. And the more that you see that He's done for you, the more you're going to want to fight in that battle.
That's right.
And you're going to get dirty and you're going to get hurt. Look back, when I played football, I wasn't very good. So whenever I got out there, man, I'd get knocked around. Man, them guys would just literally... Hey, one time I was a lot smaller than him. I had this one guy went by and he just literally just pushed me to the side. But you know what happens a lot of times, y'all? At least you're doing what you can. You're going to get dirty. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get bruised. People's going to hurt your feelings. Stuff like this going to happen. But let me tell you this. Just keep fighting.
That's right.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Like that old preacher, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. You just don't let up, shut up, or back up till you're taking up. And you know what? God will bless you for it.
Yes,
I want y'all to know God is there to help you. But He wants you to not only get saved, but He wants you to grow. And growth takes study. And also, truth is offensive, and that's just the way it is. We're supposed to be, the Bible says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So can we just remain faithful and say, Lord, I want to study and help you do, or let the Lord help you do whatever He wants you to do, not what we want to do.
That's right.
That's what it takes. So maybe this will help you. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, as always, we need you. Lord.